my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey, everyone. Welcome to my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast. And I usually check to see what episode number it is, and I failed to do that. I think this is 114, and if it's not, I apologize. Chad and I are going to be talking about the Royal Rumble, the 2017 Royal Rumble, in great detail, but we're also, and I'm springing this on you right now, Chad, before we get into the bulk of the 2017 Rumble and the contest that we're going to be doing this year once again over at the My 1-2-3 Cents Facebook page, let's take a stroll down memory lane. And do you have, are there any Rumbles or moments from the Rumble that particularly stand out to you as maybe being your favorite?
I've been reading an online daily recap of recapping the Rumbles, which just recaps the actual Rumble match, not the entire show. So those are the ones that are kind of sticking out to me. You know me, it's easier for me to go the negative route and remember the ones that I don't like, or the things that I didn't like. Obviously, 92 is probably the best Rumble from my fandom perspective. You know, with Ric Flair winning and everything. But, yeah, the other Rumbles that stick out to me now that I'm thinking about are the ones that, well, Stone Cold winning in 96, 97, when he won his first one.
97,
okay, when he was eliminated but then came back in and eliminated Brett and Vader and Taker. That one I thought was an interesting ending to the match because everyone, I mean, even Vince Russo, who was going by the name Vic Venom at the time on WWE Livewire, went on live television and said, Bret Hart's going to win the Rumble. Shawn Michaels is going to win his title back. They're going to fight at WrestleMania. And to swerve it to Austin winning was actually a good, you know, a good logical swerve. And then Vince Russo, because of that, I think is how Vince Russo came into some creative power, and the swerve became his modus operandi. Which kind of lost all meaning after that. And then, I'm trying to think, you know, Benoit winning, or he who shall not be named. I don't know where we stand on the Benoit issue after 10 years later. That was a shock and a good rumble. And then I'm trying to think of the more recent ones.
I feel like you're reading my mind because, yeah, the Flair Rumble victory in 92 is my all-time favorite. Austin winning, and then, of course, Benoit winning in 04. And unless Neville wins this year's Rumble, I don't think anything, for me, at least in the immediate future, will ever top Flair winning it in 92.
Neville is going to break Santino Marella's record this year.
He's not even in it, as of yet, at least, so...
Well, he's got a title match, right?
He does. And you know what? I guess let's transition into that. But also, speaking of the Rumble, do some selfless promotion here, or shameless promotion here. The blog at my123cents.com, I'm counting down my favorite non-Rumble match, Rumble moments or matches, if you will. So not the over-the-top rope matches, but just 10 moments or matches from past Rumbles. And it was kind of hard paring it down because there's some fun and it's mostly nostalgia for me and just kind of you know, how things ended and what it ended up building up to and resulting in. For example, number 9 was the Quebecers versus Bret and Owen Hart match, and it ended up leading to that awesome feud between Bret and Owen Hart. The seeds were getting planted.
That's why I kicked your leg out from under your leg.
Well, and I rewatched that to write the blog, and, you know, Jacques Rougeau was one of the Quebecers, obviously, and then Ray Rougeau, who I had forgotten at the time, was a backstage interviewer, and so he comes into the ring to interview or try to find out what's going on while this is all still going on, and he says, is his leg broken? What is that? Or is it just dislocated? And I'm like, how do you dislocate your leg? But I digress.
Yeah.
Good times. Check that out over at my123cents.com. I'll be counting that down until Saturday before the Rumble. And when we finish our discussion here, we're going to talk about the Royal Rumble contest. It's something that Chad is usually I think every year you've been the brainchild behind. We have some great prizes that we'll be giving away to our listeners and to our readers over at My123Cents. So those rules and everything will be announced here, and the contest will be kicking off on the Facebook page. So without any further ado, we mentioned Neville. He is the self-proclaimed king of the cruiserweights. He's taking on Rick Swann, who is actually the cruiserweight heavyweight champion. Obviously, I'm biased here. I've got an extra special pair of Neville pants that I'll be wearing for this match. I see that this is going. I feel like this is going to be Neville's time to shine. I mean, they're building up to him winning this. I feel at least so. I think it makes sense for Neville to walk out of this one as the new cruiserweight champion.
I don't think he's going to win it here. Rick Swann just recently, within the last month, won the title from Jay Perkins. Did he beat Perkins or did he beat Kendrick?
I believe he beat Kendrick. Kendrick beat Perkins.
So there have been three champions so far in the span of 2.5 months. So I don't think switching the title here is necessarily the right thing, but I do think Neville will eventually get the title, maybe at whatever Raw's February pay-per-view is, or maybe drag it out into the multi-man cruiserweight match at WrestleMania. So that will be on the pre-show while people are still filing into the arena. So I'm going to go with Swann here. I like Neville. I like the new Neville attitude. I think it helps give him a direction. I'm still not totally sold on Rip Swann, but I just think it. I think it's too early to take the title off Swann.
Yeah, and speaking of, and not to fanboy too much here, but I do think that this attitude adjustment is exactly what Neville needed. His character, and I had blogged about it right before he came back, his character had kind of gotten lost in the shuffle. And I feel like this also adds a little flavor to the cruiserweight division because I hadn't been overly interested in it. I like Kendrick and T.J. Perkins, and I do like Rich Swann, but throwing Neville into this and kind of an established superstar, if you will, and not to discredit anyone else that's on that roster, but bringing in someone who's got some name recognition with the fans from before is obviously a good thing.
I agree with that.
Okay, Charlotte Flair will defend the women's championship, the Raw Women's Championship, against Bayley. I'm going to go back to when we talked on our Cinti Awards show in late December. I think they're rushing this match. I would have saved it for Mania, as you had suggested, and do the angle almost Four Horsemen style, where they offer Bayley a spot and beat her down and keep her off TV until WrestleMania. This is being rushed. I do hope that they continue Charlotte's streak on pay-per-view and have it culminate at WrestleMania, but I don't necessarily want to see a Bayley-Charlotte rematch at WrestleMania either. So kind of in a conundrum in at least in my view.
Yes, I agree with that completely. I would have given Charlotte a different feud for the Rumble, if even having a title match on the Rumble show itself. I would have moved Bayley into this position probably after the Rumble or at the beginning of February to build up to Mania. From my sources, which may or may not be accurate, and it's not an online source, There are rumors that Mania is going to be a multi-woman title match, not a one-on-one. So hopefully, you know, we won't get the Charlotte Bailey straight-up rematch.
Interesting. Okay, I think I know your source, so I trust that.
Yeah. yeah. So I don't. I don't want. I think Charlotte's first pay-per-view loss needs to be something memorable and something that's really built up. And on the Rumble show, most of the undercard is going to be overshadowed by the Rumble match itself, hopefully.
Right.
Dull Rumble. So I definitely don't think this is the time for Charlotte to lose.
And this is a kind of a good transition point, too, because we're talking about, obviously, Charlotte Flair and a record or a streak. This next match has some implications with a Flair and a streak as well, and that is AJ Styles defending the WWE World title against John Cena, who could potentially tie Ric Flair's record 16-time championship victories. I have seen some online speculation and some ideas that I like, and that being that Ric Flair helps AJ retain the championship. If they're going to tie it, I guess when once he beats it, it would be more significant. But if they're going to tie it, like you said, it needs to be on a stage where it's not going to be overshadowed by the potential of the Royal Rumble match itself or Charlotte's pay-per-view streak coming to an end. So there's a lot of attention, you know, at the Royal Rumble. So I don't necessarily think tying Flair's record at the Rumble is a good idea either. But this is the one match that I wouldn't be surprised to see them go in that direction. And there's all these speculation and questions of who's going to get the WrestleMania matches. There was a talk at one point of it being Cena versus Undertaker, career versus the championship. I don't know that they'll go that route. So I'm rambling here. I want to see AJ retain. And if it comes with the help from Ric Flair, I like that even better.
You know, we've discussed many times, both, I think you and I, huge Ric Flair fans, probably one of the biggest inspirations for us becoming wrestling fans.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that said, nothing against John Cena, but I don't want to see Flair's record tied or beat. And I think it also, when you look at Cena's title reigns, and now that we're in, you know, post-Attitude Era, when titles change so frequently, you know, I believe Cena and Orton changed titles a handful of times within a couple months, Edge and Cena. I mean, right now, Charlotte Flair is a four-time women's champion in less than 6 months.
Right.
So, there, I guess it's for like a baseball purist looking at home runs hit in previous generations versus now. They're always like, oh, you know, you need the asterisk because whatever reasons, you know, the game has changed. And yeah, so I don't want to see Cena tied because I want that to be part of Flair's legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Which it will always be his legacy, but. Still, and I don't. I think Cena is at that point now that he is. I think more rapidly becoming a part-time performer. Cena is above the title. He doesn't need it. Him having it, you know, he did help build up the U.S. title with his open challenge every week. So I may be wrong in saying that. Cena doesn't need the title, and what wouldn't bring an added value to the title? Whereas I think AJ is having a really good year, and it's that transitional period of instead of constantly relying on what you've relied on for the last 15 years, go in a new direction, move Cena into that specialty part-time slot where he can help, you know, get over new talent or just work with guys coming up to help them improve. So I really hope that AJ wins at the Rumble.
Yeah, totally agree with what you said. The other match for the, a championship, and as of right now, as of this recording at least, there's been no, you know, like tag team title matches announced or SmackDown Women's Championship announced for right now. But we are going to also see Kevin Owens defend the Universal Championship against Roman Reigns. Chris Jericho will be suspended above the ring in the shark cage. And as much as it pains me to say this, I want Kevin Owens to win. That's not what pains me. It's the fact that all indications are that Roman Reigns is going to once again be your top guy, your champion. This is the third year in a row that they've kind of flirted with Reigns as the big man on campus, so to speak, winning the 2014 Royal Rumble, or I'm sorry, winning the 2015 Royal Rumble. Going on and having the championship in the 2016 Rumble, but losing it, but then still getting the title shot back for WrestleMania last year, and now potentially winning the championship this year. And in those 3 years, Roman Reigns has remained one of those guys that people love to hate, I think, or hate to love, I don't know. He just does not connect, and I don't know why WWE has chosen to not pull the trigger and turn the guy after, like I said, it's been 3 years. It's interesting that they continue to go back to this well.
Yeah, I'm hoping that Owens retains, because I think we're going to get the eventual Owens-Jericho feud, because no one in wrestling can remain friends without turning on each other. And I would rather see an Owens-Jericho title match at WrestleMania than a Roman Reigns title match. And by the way things are going, I believe we could be looking at a Roman Reigns versus Braun Strowman matchup at WrestleMania. I definitely don't think that needs to be a title match.
What about, and I know there's speculation, and we'll get to this more of this in the Rumble match itself, but there's been speculation of Roman Reigns versus Goldberg at WrestleMania.
Put that on the pre-show as people were filing in. I would rather see that than Goldberg Lesnar.
Yeah. So do you think they save Owens as champion and have him defend against Chris Jericho at WrestleMania, or do you just see this as kind of, I don't want to say mistreated, but, you know, Kevin Owens as champion has not been the success. Focus. Yeah, it's the focus.
No, it hasn't been the focus. I mean, you can't blame Owens when he's being presented as secondary to, or fifth on the card behind Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. So do you think that they would, that this match, you know, Jericho versus Owens, I see going, you know, somewhere on the mid card versus your main event match being, you know, I don't think the main event of WrestleMania 33 is going to be Chris Jericho versus Kevin Owens for the Universal Championship.
No, well, I think if they do the rumored Lesnar Goldberg 3, I think that's going to be your main event. I think your title match, unless Roman Reigns is your champion, I think your title match will be somewhere in the middle of the card.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if Cena were to win, you know, the SmackDown title, I think that actually might, for the first time in the brand split history, the SmackDown title would be presented as a bigger deal than the Universal.
That would be interesting to see.
Just by virtue of it being on Cena.
Right.
But I think Owens Jericho for the title has more intrigue than just Jericho Owens former best friends fighting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although Jericho's also the US champion now, so they could keep that on him and make that title, you know, make it for that title.
No, I think Reigns will win the U.S. title then at the next pay-per-view, so he'll go in as a two champion into that match at Mania. I'm kidding. I don't think that's going to happen. So the Rumble match itself, as of right now on WWE.com's website, they have just over half of the 30-man slot filled. You know, you've got your mix. You've got an interesting mix this year of legends slash, for lack of a better, and they're all legends. I'm not disparaging them, but legends slash part-timers in The Undertaker, Goldberg, and Brock Lesnar. Established superstars, Dean Ambrose, The Miz, Seth Rollins, Dolph Ziggler, all three members of The New Day, Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton, Luke Harper, so your Wyatt family, Braun Strowman, Chris Jericho, Baron Corbin, Cesaro, and Sheamus, who are the current tag team champions. I would imagine they'll pepper in some more superstars over the next, or announce them before the Rumble, but I think they'll probably still have some surprises too. Do you feel like, and I actually am stealing this idea from Sam Roberts' wrestling podcast, he had made the suggestion of having kind of representatives from the new UK division, the Cruiserweights, obviously, NXT, Raw, SmackDown, which we have, and then, of course, the Legends in Goldberg and Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker, kind of that part-time contingency. Would you rather see all 30 men announced and ready to go before the Rumble itself with these kinds of categories, everybody kind of being represented, or do you like the surprise elements of some of the men coming in unannounced and unexpected?
Love-hate. You know, some of the older surprise entrants that come back every year, with the exception of, like, you know, Kevin Nash, like when DDP or Rob Van Dam or whatever, those are interesting because you don't know they're surprises, so you don't know they're going to be there. But because the Rumble match has the stipulation of time of winner goes on to face the champion at WrestleMania, I would rather see people that actually have a chance.
Right. You know the boogeyman's not going to go face Kevin Owens at WrestleMania.
Right. So even though it's a nice pop and it's good, if you keep them to a bare minimum, like maybe two.
All right.
Okay. I wouldn't put any of the British people in there because much like a lot with indie wrestling. Now, if you put those, I really am kind of scared of the day when you actually see one of the British competitors versus someone who's in WWE, with the exception of like AJ Styles right now or Neville, or because these guys are a lot smaller than your typical WWE wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
I think it may throw off that suspension of disbelief.
Gotcha.
I obviously think there should be one or two NXT call-ups that can make their debut, and I think the one that all the fans are clamoring for right now is Ty Dillinger to come in as number 10, because it fits into the gimmick.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean,
do you keep them on the main roster once they've premiered like that? I remember Rusev a few years ago was in, and then he kind of went back to NXT and then came back onto the main roster a few months later. I think it was right after WrestleMania 30.
30, yeah.
I think I'm remembering that right. So
yeah, like Bo Dallas was in when he'd won a match like the night before some event to qualify for the Rumble. Like an NXT
Royal Rumble. Yeah. So do you keep them or just kind of showcase, hey, this is some of the talent that you can watch on NXT, which is on the network, and kind of cross-promote? Because I do think there's a contingency out there that doesn't purchase the network or doesn't watch NXT and know all the superstars that are there and being developed. Right, and I say developed, but a lot of NXT men and women have a lot of experience and really don't need to be quote-unquote developed, but you know what I mean.
Yes. I think you can do both. I think you should have at least one person that is getting called up, and then maybe spotlight. Like, I think maybe having you know, right now, like having Shinsuke Nakamura come in and be like, oh, this is the NXT champion. And so by virtue of being champion, he gets put into the Rumble. But if he doesn't win, then he can go back to NXT until his reign is over. And then you call him up later when you're ready for it, when you have something in place for him.
You know, and you saying that, I like that idea. But that's an interesting idea, too. If you had somebody like Shinsuke or Bobby Roode who wrestles Nakamura the night before at NXT TakeOver for the championship, what if the NXT champion won the Rumble and then went on to WrestleMania as NXT champion to face off against the WWE World Champion or Universal Champion? That would be, and down the road, I could maybe see, not this year, but I could see that. But then, you know, we're kind of looking at that, or when I say that, I'm looking at that as a fan, a wrestling fan versus a sports entertainment fan, where what's best for business might, in their mind, be Goldberg versus Roman Reigns for the championship instead of Bobby Roode versus Kevin Owens, for example, for the championship, or Bobby Roode versus AJ Styles for the championship.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's going to come down, for business sake, it's going to come down to what is the casual fan more likely to, you know, pay to see. Whereas, yeah, and that's where I think, speaking of Nakamura, I think the diehard wrestling fan really likes Nakamura, but I am really curious to see when he comes up to the main roster to see how the casual fan take to him.
Yeah, I will be curious to see that as well. So, of the 18 men that we know are so far entered into the Rumble, or if you think somebody that's not been announced yet, I can't imagine there being many more big names that aren't announced that are going to be in it. Who do you see winning the 2017 Royal Rumble? Keeping in mind now that, I don't know, I assume you saw SmackDown this past week. There is going to be a February Elimination Chamber for the championship. So that may throw a cog in the wheel, so to speak. But
yeah, you know, I was wondering about that because, yes, if a SmackDown competitor wins the Rumble, they won't be in the Elimination Chamber match.
I agree. I don't think that they should be, but I don't think that that necessarily means they won't be. It's kind of like when you had the Authority against Roman Reigns, but they continue to give him opportunities to get involved in a title match.
Yeah. WWE logic. I don't know. I mean, obviously, based on just the way they're selling the Rumble match, Goldberg and Lesnar are the only two names that really seem to matter, but I don't see either of them winning. And also taking into account rumors of what is going to happen at WrestleMania, this year it's kind of unpredictable because I think everything is still in a state of flux as far as planning Mania. I look at it as from a fan perspective of who do I not want to see, which would be Lesnar, Goldberg, Cena, Taker, like all the top guys who have either won a Rumble before or are part-timers, so they don't. Actually, I think Goldberg's the only one of those four who hasn't won a Royal Rumble. So I would like to see Chris Jericho win it. He just won the U.S. title to complete his collection of having held all the major WWE titles. I think having a Rumble victory would be a nice resume padding to the resume. And I think it helps build that, as we talked about earlier, the Kevin Owens-Jericho match. And so from a storytelling perspective, that is my logical winner.
Okay, so you have Owens retain the championship then to go on with Owens and Jericho at Mania, or...
Yes.
Okay. I don't dislike that. I don't dislike that idea. I had not thought of that though.
Yeah, and I don't, like I said, as you mentioned earlier, the last 2 years Roman Reigns has headlined WrestleMania. And, you know, at 31, I think his match with Lesnar was a good match, but it was helped by Rollins cashing in. And last year being in Dallas, which granted the show was 18 hours long, but by the time it got to Triple H versus Reigns, the crowd was just so dead.
Right. Like,
and I think that's also part of, I think Triple H needs to stay out of WrestleMania and stop putting himself over during the, even though he lost. You know, but you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, he won the Rumble. Like, stop bringing back the part-timers.
Right. He was all over the poster. I mean, when we arrived in Dallas, it was Triple H and Roman Reigns' face that greeted you as you got off the airplane. So, you know, until you made that announcement, I do like that storyline and that scenario. I don't necessarily think that is remotely close to what will happen, but I do like it. You know, to me, it seems like it's weird that The Undertaker, after a 7-year absence from the Royal Rumble event, and I think
I did not realize he's not been on the show that long.
Say that again?
I did not realize Taker has not been on the Rumble pay-per-view that many years.
I said 7. I think it's actually, I think the last time he was in the Rumble match itself was in 09. It might have been in 2010. He wrestled 1 year Rey Mysterio for the title. And then I think that was in 2010. He wrestled for the title, and then he lost it the next month at the Elimination Chamber in St. Louis when he got burned, and Jericho won it. So in 09, I think 09 was the last Rumble match he was in. I don't know that we've seen The Undertaker, and I hate to throw the age factor in, and there are other ways to eliminate somebody. I get that. I don't know that we've seen Taker go over the top rope in quite some time, and that, like I said, that's not to say that he couldn't, but it seems to me like they're bringing The Undertaker back into this for a reason. And as much as I don't want him to win it, I can't see him at this point with the look of this card. I can't see him not winning it. And I would rather see AJ Styles against The Undertaker at WrestleMania. Well, let me rephrase that. I would. If we're going to see Undertaker versus John Cena at WrestleMania, I would rather it not be for the championship. If Undertaker's going to win the Rumble, I would rather see him go after AJ Styles, if that makes sense, and maybe it doesn't. I want AJ to be the champion, and I don't want Cena to tie Flair's record, so it all kind of folds into that. But I think right now my pick is the Undertaker to win. Who do I want to win? I'd rather see somebody, like you said, like a maybe an unexpected or, you know, I'm yeah, still.
And here's the thing. I mean, if you're going to do, according to rumor, if you're going to do Lesnar, Goldberg, Triple H, Seth Rollins, I think what the other major match, like, again, this is a year where the title match is probably not going to be the focus of WrestleMania.
Right.
So if that's the case, then think outside the box and have someone unexpected win it.
If we're going with that perspective, and Undertaker's who I think will win, I'd have Miz win it. Just because I love what they've done with him lately, and I really liked what they did the other night on SmackDown with him wrestling AJ. Again, I don't know who the champion will be by then, but you could almost do it where there's a lot of resistance from Daniel Bryan and still kind of work that into it. But, you know, Miz has proven himself. But just looking at the guys left in the match that we know of, I'd pick the Miz, which I never thought in 2017 I'd say that, but I'm saying it.
Yeah, unless broken Matt Hardy can make a surprise appearance and win the Rumble. I don't think Taker should or will win. I think bringing him back is more of the running a WrestleMania-sized arena with a Royal Rumble.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that.
And it's in Texas, so Taker has time to get there and actually get to the ring before the match is over. And I think it's all about the star power. I think they're just that's why they have Goldberg and Lesnar. And it's besides building up to Mania, it's you have to put all your name talent on the show to, you know, to try to sell it.
Yeah,
and speaking of that, does Triple H get involved to eliminate Rollins?
Yeah, it's a good point. And negative Nancy going to weigh in here and say, I don't really, at the end of the day, care who wins as long as it's not Baron Corbin. He is the one guy I do not want to see win the Royal Rumble. And I hate to be so negative on him, but I just have not connected with him. And I don't get the appeal from the main roster perspective. So, but we are going to be doing our annual Royal Rumble contest. And Chad, you've come up with some pretty good questions. Talk a little bit about how we're going to do the contest this year.
All right. In the past, we've done, you know, you just post your name on Facebook. We open it up, post your name. We assign you a number. If that number wins the Rumble, you win the prize. Well, thankfully, we've kind of grown too big for that to be a reasonable way to determine a winner. And it's kind of annoying trying to draw out all the numbers and assign them to keep track. So this year, we're going to make it even more annoying for us to keep track of everything. And we'll put up on the Facebook page, I don't know what I'm trying to say. There are questions. Now, third question. It's more prediction based, and you'll have, you know, who do you think will be number one? Who will be number 30? What position will win the Rumble? Who will win the Rumble? Who will be the surprise entrant? And that's fine. I think that's good enough. And then we'll take those answers. You fill out your form of those five questions. If you win it, for each one that you get correct, you will win a point. If there are, you know, ties at the end, we'll draw a name. And then, yes, that's how we will determine the winner of this year's Royal Rumble contest.
So whoever has the most points wins, and if there's a tie, we'll do a drawing, or heck, if we're in a good mood, we may send out multiple prize packets.
Maybe, yeah. If I can go through and find the prize packets that we had stored last year.
Yeah, well, and it's going to be some good stuff. We're going to have some great prizes. And speaking of prizes, if you're listening to this show on Monday, 1/23/17. It's something I've written up to kind of get the brand out there. It's my 1-2-3 cents day, so don't forget, if you're listening to this early in the day, post a picture, video, a meme, whatever it is, to celebrate my 1-2-3 cents. Use the hashtag my 1-2-3 cents day, and I'll be taking a look through Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and we'll pick a winner for that as well and send out some prizes. I've got some good stuff here and I'm going to be making a road trip to get some more stuff here very soon as well. So, Chad, thanks for putting the My 1-2-3 cents Royal Rumble contest together, and it should be fun.
That'll be a drama. I'm curious to see what other people have to say, what they think.
Absolutely, and that's one of the other things, is trying to be more interactive with the people who do listen and support the show and have for the last, just over 2 years that the podcast has been on, the blog been around much longer than that. But speaking of podcasts, Chad, you're kind of about to charter into some new waters yourself with a podcast. Is that right?
That is the plan. So putting it out here on this podcast, hopefully that means I will, be forced to actually follow through with this.
It's the accountability podcast right now.
Accountability podcast. Yeah, my plan is to launch this coming week, and I'm not sure what day. It all depend on Greg Mahochko, the ruler of the Jittery Monkey Empire. When he puts it up, and I have to figure out exactly what all I have to do in order to get the podcast to him and everything. But yeah, it's a podcast. It's called Positive Cynicism. It's kind of my take on the world around us. Different topics each week. The problem is I don't have a set theme. Like, my 1-2-3 cents is all wrestling based. Nerd United is comic books. Greg's other podcast, The Five Heartbeats, I believe it is, is all about Nebraska Cornhusker stuff. I'm just looking at the world, going through it's kind of interesting. I've been going through old MySpace blogs that I wrote 10, 11 years ago, and this is kind of like an extension of those, so it'll be just my take on the world, and I'll probably find some stupid person of the week to complain about and just talk about the downside of humanity. But at the same time, I want to be positive. I want to encourage people, and I want to take a look at aspects in our society and try to figure out why we as a society do the things that we do.
Yeah, and we talked before, you know that you're not going to, it's just like people who argue on Facebook or Twitter, you're not going to change anyone's mind, but you are going to offer a perspective out there that will hopefully, because I think when I think of you and we talk, I think we both, honestly, although I think we both have certain ideas or whatever, we're both pretty much down the middle. So this is not going to be a rant or a slam against any particular political party or
except for the first episode.
Yeah, but you're going to keep it pretty pretty down the middle.
Yeah, my feeling is I pride myself on being able to try to see both sides of an issue. For the most part, I mean, as we were discussing with the show, one upcoming topic is going to be looking at internet trolls and people that post negative comments online, and that's something I don't see the value in doing, and I don't understand why anybody would take the time out of their life to do so. But for when it comes to political things, I try to see both sides and try to weigh both sides. And I think that is an aspect that is really missing right now. And so this first episode is going to be about, you know, Donald Trump coming in, which, by the way, how great is it that a WWE Hall of Famer is now president of the United States?
It's huge.
It's big. It's the best Hall of Fame in all the Hall of Fames. And Vince McMahon, he's a great man. But yeah, it's just looking at all the events surrounding Trump's taking over, and from my perspective, the hypocrisy of both sides. So that's a little teaser. I'll get into it more. You can check out the podcast. It's called Positive Cynicism. Hopefully it will drop this weekend.
Alrighty, and we'll have links to that. We'll connect it through the My123Cents Facebook and Twitter pages as well. And it'll be on our personal brands. Chad is, you can find him on Twitter at Chad Smart. I hope you don't mind me plugging your Twitter account there. I know you don't tweet a whole lot other than to slam me usually, but check it out. What's that?
It's so easy and fun. I don't have to think about it.
This is true.
So on Twitter, and my hands automatically be like, at Kevin Hunsberger, blah, 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 insult.
Yes. So insult me on Twitter as well, at Kevin Hunsberger, at My123Cents on Instagram and Twitter as well. Thanks, everyone, so much for listening. Again, check out that Royal Rumble contest and use the hashtag on Monday, January 23rd, hashtag My123Cents Day. Thanks, everyone, for the support.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.